Hey, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Ben Fold, who is hosting and has been hosting the special Declassified series at the Kennedy Center. Mr. Folds, thanks for bringing us into the fold here today.
No worries. Thanks for talking to me about it.
Absolutely. I definitely want to talk about the Sarah Bareilles show that just happened, but more broadly, talk about how this idea even came about to do Declassified. The Kennedy Center calls you up and says, hey, you want to be the new NSO artistic advisor to curate this live concert series, or how did it actually spark in the beginning?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, we all are driven by a worldwide thing, which is, you know, you always want to bring in new audiences to the incredible institution of the symphony orchestra, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not new. It's, you know, Gershwin was doing that in his time, and probably, you know, well before there had been other iterations of this is a new generation, and you're introducing them to the symphony orchestra. It's a very difficult thing to do without it being a sort of, okay, now eat your spinach. And that is actually what I think we've got really going for this, and what I'm excited about is that music, to me, has always been about context. You know, if you hear a song and it's in context of your life and you can relate to it, it doesn't matter what the style of it is or where it's coming from. And so what we've been able to do in this series is contextualize orchestral music and recontextualize modern artists. For instance, someone like Sarah Bareilles is one of the best musicians. I've played with many, many, many musicians. She's one of the best I've ever played with. And she's also a composer in her own right, very simple pop composer, but she is a composer. So we give her and her audience the honor of being treated as such. And at the same time, the audience is brought in to music they might not have otherwise heard, which I'm finding is becoming soundtracks to people's lives. So I think it's we're finding a place to make it effective, and it is all about context, and that's pretty much what we're doing.
Not only is the audience getting exposed to sort of the orchestral stuff, explain sort of just, and since we're radio, paint me a visual picture. You know, our audience comes, they sit down there in the Kennedy Center. Mm-hmm. What do they actually, explain what they're seeing there with the orchestra and how epic that is, elevating these songs that you know with an orchestra?
Well, I mean, first of all, I believe it's about respectfully sort of informalizing, if we can use that as a verb, the symphony orchestra. Symphony orchestra can be a little intimidating, and you don't know where to dive in. So you're among friends. You got, you know, in the case of Sarah, me, and Caroline Shaw, you've got three people of our general generation who have a wide variety of taste, all the way from Kendrick Lamar to Maurice Ravel. So the audience doesn't have to know anything about what they're hearing. So when the audience sits down, they're not expected to be dressed any particular way. It's fine as long as you don't heckle. I think that's good. And you know, before there's some small festivities outside before we always have planned, and after you can drink, which is unusual for a symphony concert. And you're also exposed to one or two pieces of the symphony orchestra plays where they're at the top of their game. Not like they're giving you we're gonna give you the dummies version of the symphony orchestra, but we're pushing the orchestra to where they're sweating bullets before the performance. So we're not going back on easy stuff. They're actually being challenged. So you're watching the orchestra be challenged also and not condescend. So I think what you're seeing is you're turning the symphony orchestra into really what it is. About 80 individuals who live in the same time period as we do, who happen to be exceptional at making music together, and they're not viewed as like props. You just see them up on; they're right there with you. So I think that's what you feel when you sit down.
80,
and of course, yeah, 80 musicians. You know, between 60 and 80 is the normal number for a typical symphony concert.
So you've gone from the Ben Folds 5 to the Ben Folds 80. Nice.
The Ben Folds 85. That's right. Yeah.
That's so awesome. So when Sarah was there over the weekend, what all was on the set list? Did you get Love Song? Anything from, you know, the Broadway's Waitress, or what was on the set list?
Yeah. Well, we made sure that we went with two of her anthems. Love Song and Brave. Love Song was reimagined by Caroline Shaw. Happens to be one of my favorite, maybe my favorite modern composer. I just love what she does. And she happens to love Sarah's music. So she really... really turned that one upside down. I mean, it was very different from what you would be used to. But I couldn't stop smiling, and I don't think the audience could either. And then Brave, we gave them, you know, that's an encore. We gave them what they expected, so that they had to stay with us for a reimagining of one, which they did. And then Brave was done just straight up the anthem that it was meant to be. And then we made sure we did one that no one's heard before. So there's something completely new on it, and something from Waitress.
Oh yeah, do you know which song from Waitress? Because I believe
She
Used to Be Mine. Man, I saw Waitress on Broadway with Jesse Mueller. But now Sarah is actually I think the day that this piece airs is going back to another turn on Broadway, right?
Oh, is she? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I didn't get a chance to see her when she did the first run, so thanks. I haven't talked to her about that. I want to go see it.
Oh, it's such an amazing song. And not only that song, all of the songs opening up. Yeah. But She Used to Be Mine, man. That's almost, that's a tearjerker. So
it's a beautiful song. Yeah, that one irked me when I heard it because I wanted to have written it. I'm really bummed she got to that one.
Yeah,
she takes all the good ones.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. That was a little extra. And folks that came out to the Kennedy Center with you guys for Declassified got to see Sarah Bareilles do the song she wrote for the role
right.
She was before she went back to Broadway to do it. So we got a sneak peek. I love it.
Yeah, and the orchestra sounds beautiful on that one. And Sarah's stuff works really well with the symphony orchestra.
Yeah, she was Tony nominated for that whole songbook, and if it wasn't for a little thing called Hamilton, she probably would have won.
Yeah, I know. But speaking of Hamilton, we had Alex Lacamoire, who arranged every note of Hamilton, as one of our orchestrators on this show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, actually, I kind of wanted to go into that, because you mentioned, you know, Sarah and Caroline Shaw, who, you know, won a Pulitzer Prize for music for a cappella. So that was who was there this weekend. But go back overall in all of the Declassified series. Who all have we had?
Well, this is the second one of the title, Declassified Ben Folds Presents, which is you know, part of their series, Declassified.
Okay.
So this is the second one. The first one, I had Danai Suarez, who's a Cuban artist. She, somewhere between hip-hop and just, you know, straight-up singing. She does have a discernible Cuban tilt to her music, but it's very unique. I don't think I've ever seen such a Star Is Born moment. That was so exciting for me. When we started her first tune with the NSO, the room was one way. When we finished, it was a new room. It was really, people were just blown away. And then she walked from there and went and to the Latin Grammys, where she had 4 nominations. And this is someone, when I first met her, couldn't get a car to work in Havana to get to the hotel to meet over what we're going to do. She lives a very, she lives a, she's keeping it real. I mean, you know, for her to be getting Grammy nominations and playing with the NSO is very exciting. And the other one was Blake Mills, who I believe is one of the best producers of our time. Blake Mills is now, you know, he's young. He's in his young 30s, and he's got people like Jay-Z all over him at the moment. He's a very interesting guitar player and singer. And and the night was sold out. We sold out all of these, so it's very exciting. We're trying to basically create a cult where you come knowing that you're going to get one or two new pieces of music. If you don't know much about classical music, you're in good hands. And we don't dwell on it for too long. You know, mm-hmm. We play a couple of pieces. They understand what it is. We send it to them in the mail if they want, so they can have a playlist and listen. And then they get to hear their favorite artists take new takes on their music. And they get to be presented with someone new, like Danai Suarez, which, you know, I felt like I was well thanked for, because people flipped when they heard her. And it's like I have hundreds of gigs a year I play on. Probably 80% of my time is spent on the two or three declassified shows I do. It's what means the most to me.
Wow. How do you actually reach out to who you're gonna bring in? Like, what did you know Sarah before? Didn't you judge together on the Sing Off?
Yeah, and I produced one of her records, and we're old friends. Like, as soon as she started breaking, we were out there doing gigs together. So I must have known Sarah for a good 10 or 15 years now. And so, yeah, she was a natural. But I also knew that she hadn't done a lot of orchestral work. And that's interesting to me, too, to bring in people that we love who haven't done that. So they're discovering something as well. They come into it with an innocence. And we're all, you know, we're just mixing up the languages. Yeah, and I'll bring in my friends like Sarah, and I've, you know, over my years, I know quite a few who I think are amazing. So I'll be bringing them in, but I also want to learn of some new artists myself. So I'm listening to new stuff. Doesn't matter if it sells or not. I don't care. Right. For the second sort of the second part of the billing, like which is the Denai Suarez or the Caroline Shaw, I just want to be introduced to and introduce my audience to something that we haven't heard before. And you know, people flip when they hear Caroline. You know, we haven't spent much time on her, but as you mentioned, her Partita for Eight Voices with Room Full of Teeth won a Pulitzer Prize, and she was what, 23 when she did this? Yeah, I mean, that's, she's serious business, and she's also just a joy to watch. She's a singing composer. It's bizarre. It's like she composes and she just grabs the mic and starts singing.
That's insane.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was told by the Kennedy Center, since this is running Tuesday, that you might be able to give us a little bit of a scoop, and we won't announce it till next week, but we hear at the show you're going to say who the next series is.
Well, we're not as on time as I'd like to be. We've got John Batiste, which John and I have been talking about this now for almost a year. So we've got some really great plans with John. The second performer is not decided yet, and it means a lot to me that there's a synergy in the show. You know, that it's not random, and so you know, I'm working on that. I've got a top tier list of about five people I'm juggling, but we'll have it soon. But John's on, and he may win for being the most sort of enthusiastic in his ideas. Like, so far, he's like got 20 ideas more than we can possibly accomplish, and I really like that about him. He's a consummate musician. I think people are going to get to have a view of him that they're not going to be able to see on Stephen Colbert. He's utterly incredible piano player.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell our listeners. If you don't know the name, it's his band Stay Human is the house band of Colbert, and
right.
he's always such a lively personality on that show too. Like, it wouldn't be the same without
him.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, no, he's just funny and engaged, and he's one of the smartest people I've met. The guy has just got a lot going on. But this gives him a chance to, you know, be more serious about his musicianship, like he is. It's a different niche for him. So that's the kind of stuff that excites me about the show.
Yeah.
Is that you're not seeing stuff the way it's always presented to you. People have a lot of facets to what they do, and you know, if we manage to pull off something that was a tearjerker coming from John Batiste, then I think that would be really interesting. You know, like it's just not what you expect.
That'd be awesome.
So we'll know soon enough. You know, we'll let you know when we've got the other artist. I'm either going to go for someone who is going to be decidedly the heavyweight title of the world sort of headliner, or he'll be that, and it'll be someone who you haven't heard of, but I haven't decided yet.
That's okay. You got time. Do you have a ballpark general idea of when that'll be?
It's this summer. We have the date, but I don't know. Do you know when the summer date is? It's in July, right, or June? It's in June.
Okay.
Last Friday of June.
Okay. And then how many of these are we planning to roll out throughout the rest of the year?
Well, we got to get through this one, and then we'll see. I mean, we have really what's happening now, which is amazing, is we're now have artists coming to us to do this. And I've, you know, so I think as we continue to sell them out, then they and artists want to do them, that we will plan more. I was going to give it 3, and then see where we were. So far, we're killing it. So, you know, I think we'll continue. I would say maybe 2 or 3 a year, as long as I'm doing this gig.
Awesome. So, sort of in closing, I just want to know, I know you're curating this series, but do you also get up there and perform, or are you more of an MC for the event?
A little more of an MC, but I insert myself where we need an extra person. You know, like for Sarah, I went back and played percussion. And toyed around with some piano. A couple times I fired myself, like I'll sit in and play piano and then I'll realize that the house piano player can read better than me. So I get fired, but I like to be, because I feel especially with the, like Danai and Caroline, if people haven't, not everyone has heard of them, I kind of like to be present on stage with them. It's a show of, you know, like, and of course it's a thrill for me. Like it's not, you know, to be honest, it's just because I'm selfish and want to be involved with my favorite artists. But, but you know, yeah, I'm in there some. I play 1 or 2 times, sing a note or two, and then the rest of the time I'm you know, Dick Clark or whatever.
Dick Clark and Ben Folds. I could kind of see it a little bit. All right. Give us an idea. This will be the last one. You've been generous with your time. Give us an idea of like how the rehearsal process goes, though. So the artist comes in, or how does the NSO send them like the sheet music? How does that actually work?
Well, an average listener wouldn't probably know this, but having a predominant amount of the show be new material or new charts, new orchestrations is very unusual. Mm. It's very time consuming, it's very expensive, and everyone has a heart attack. That's what these shows are. So essentially what we're doing is we're having an oh my god rehearsal, like in the case of the Sarah show, 2 days before the concert, where the orchestra has to read an incredible amount of new material that's never even been heard. So you're essentially running around the stage like with whiteout. I mean, you're really not doing that, but you're correcting stuff, you're explaining it, you're cutting stuff that didn't work, adding stuff. You play a typical classical show, this stuff has been on their stands for 50 years, 100 years, and all that's been done. So it's very ambitious from that point of view. The artist comes in, like Sarah, comes in and has to sing in a completely different context than she ever has before. So you see a lot of, with Sarah, if you were a fly on the wall, there was a lot of looking back at the orchestra and laughing. Like, what in the world is this? And then she begins to command it, and the stuff starts working, and then it gets really exciting. And it all has to happen really fast. You know, Sarah plays a tour. I happen to know she rehearses incessantly. These shows, because the symphony orchestra works different, you read 2 rehearsals and then you jump out, and 2 is generous. So they're incredible musicians, do this very, very fast, and the pop musician just has to hang on, you know. And it really makes it exciting. You don't get to see the artist in that kind of discovery, vulnerable place that many times. They don't get a chance to strike the pose that they always strike. And I think that tells you a lot about the artist. I mean, Sarah really only played with symphony orchestra, to my knowledge, once before, and that was actually with me and Renee Fleming for a PBS show, and she slayed it. And then she came in and did this thing, and she took over the band. She's really something.
Awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us, Ben. This whole series is so great. So keep it going as long as you can. We love it.
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is about not dumbing things down. You know, it's like in my advanced age, in my, like, now I've hit my 50s. I don't want to go out seeing a generation of people feel that they ever were condescended to. So when people buy a ticket to this and they're selling out, these shows are selling out, they're coming to something which it's kind of like an old piece of equipment that's made in the 50s that cost 5 times to make what they could ever make back on it. And it's just because they wanted to do things beautifully and perfectly, and that's what these shows are. So every single one that we can manage to get out there is an unrepeatable event, and has the kind of time and passion into it that I haven't seen in other shows. So that's my sales pitch. But of course, they're selling out anyway, so you just got to run get your tickets.
Exactly. Well, thanks for bringing us Sarah Bareilles over the weekend, and we look forward to Batiste and all the others you got coming up. Thank you, sir.
Right on. All Cheerio. Right. Bye-bye.
Ben Folds on WTOP.